Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Startup Hustle Podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Conaway, founder and CEO of Innovate Her KC. And friends, I got to tell you about today's episode sponsor. Today's episode of Startup Hustle is powered by Fullscale.io. Hiring software developers is difficult, but Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably. And they have the platform to help you manage that team. Visit Fullscale.io. You can also check down in the show notes for a link to learn more. And friends, I'm really excited about this episode there for many reasons. The first being that all week, Startup Hustle has been talking about various powers that you can channel into your company. And today, we're going to be talking about the power of choice with one of my favorite entrepreneurs. You've already heard about the power of AI, vulnerability, and pivoting. And now it's all about choices. We are going to be joined today by Tammy Buckner, Chief Executive Officer and founder of WeCode KC. Tammy, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Not a problem, Lauren. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
I know. I'm very excited too. Like when I talk about being excited about talking with entrepreneurs, I'm always like a base level of excited about talking to founders and entrepreneurs. But this is Tammy Buckner, who is one of my favorite people within the entrepreneurial ecosystem of Kansas City. And so I'm even more excited. Tammy and I have known each other for a while. So I think I know bits of this, but I'm going to pop right in. Yes. And I'm going to say, hey, Tammy, tell us about your journey.
Oh, and the journey do I have to tell? Yeah.
I know.
This is so fun. Yeah, because it's like we've been on different things, but this is the first time that I have been here. And I'm excited. So thank you so much for this opportunity. Wow, about me and about my journey. It's so crazy because I get that question asked a lot. And oftentimes I don't go way back when I really started in technology.
Yeah.
It was probably before coding and tech was a real word. It was just, I was tinkering.
Yeah.
I loved taking things apart. My uncle years ago used to take things apart and I would watch him put them back together, and you know, I'd fiddle with the wires because he, you know, it was all electronics. So I was right there. And that started getting me excited about tinkering. And again, doing things that I knew nothing about at that time.
Yeah.
But over time, as I was continuing, you know, doing that, my parents bought me a computer. I took that apart.
No, did that drive them crazy? Like, I imagine that there was a piece of them that was probably excited about it. Like, look at how smart our girl is. But at the same time, it's like, quit destroying your stuff.
Quit taking stuff apart. But then I was always the person that fixed stuff. Like, yeah, get this new and, oh, she'll put it together. Oh, she'll fix it. Or, you know, so that was me. I was the person that was always, when we purchased things, I put it together. I set it up. That was me. So yeah. Obviously it came in handy, but yeah, that wasn't always supposed to take things apart. But that intrigued me about the world of, you know, electronics and engineering and technology. Yeah. And even paired with that, in high school, I was the person that, you know, when people would have parties and events, you know, I would put things, I would create flyers and business cards. And, you know, so that also gave me that way of doing marketing and putting things together. So it was all encompassed in that.
Yeah.
And that's literally what started, you know, even working on a computer, I had no idea I was coding or, you know, doing things with way back then gaming. I had no idea. It was just, I was tinkering and doing that. Fast forward, gotten into college, graduated from high school, got to UCM, went to DeVry. And that's when I started learning more and more about computers, computer science. And even today, and this is one reason, you know, I'll talk about WeCode and why it's so important that I introduce technology to more women, because when I was in college, I didn't see a lot of people. It wasn't just in college, and it wasn't just in my corporate world that there weren't a lot of women or Black people in computer science.
Yeah. Around and you were like, maybe this space was not built for me.
Yeah, right? Why am I here by myself? But me, I was like, whatever. And I keep going because I had that attitude of, you know, I like it. So it's too bad nobody else like it. And, you know, and that's what kept me going. So when I started getting involved with tech and I started getting involved with things that I still didn't see a lot of people, I worked at an organization where I did the very first websites for some major, major companies.
Yeah.
I worked at the Kansas City Star. And it's so funny that I've ran into a few people that, you know, either no longer there, obviously, but was there. And we were like, wow, we didn't even know each other. But I was in the Kansas City Star when they was first putting the newspaper online.
Yeah.
So that was way back when KansasCity.com was like a .com.
Right.
It was huge. It was huge because no one was doing it.
Yeah.
No one was doing websites. So that just tells you how long I had been developing websites. But I did the very first websites way back when, because someone asked, does anyone know how to build websites? And me, my entrepreneurial spirit kicked in and said, does that make more money? And they said, yeah. I said, nice. We'll learn. So a friend of mine, one of my colleagues and coworkers, we were literally building websites before, you know, people really knew what the internet was.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And is that how Techquity Digital was born? Cause I know that is a core part of your story, but I don't think you were quite there just yet. Right.
I wasn't quite there yet. Cause Techquity Digital was born when I got, you know, and I always say this, entrepreneurs make the worst employees in the corporate world. So when I got laid off or downsized or whatever they want to call it at that time, that's literally when a form of Techquity Digital, it was back then, it was called a totally different name. It was called Virtuous Creations.
I didn't even know that.
You know, I don't tell people all of that. That was in 2003, 2004, when I formed a tech company doing web development, hosting, but it was called Virtuous Creations. And back then, the amazing entrepreneur ecosystem that we have today did not exist.
Right.
There was no mentors. There were no Casey Source links. There was nothing that I could come together with other entrepreneurs and ask questions. Like, how do I start a hosting company? Or how do I do this? Or who do I talk? There was none of that. So yeah. I'm so thankful for organizations that help entrepreneurs now. That is why I'm such an advocate. And I, you know, mentor anytime that I possibly can to an entrepreneur that wants to get started, because I didn't have that. And I don't want people to, you know, keep doing that or doing business wrong because they don't have anyone to help them.
And that's actually how you and I met, when I was still at, another organization, and it was Mecha Challenge, the innovation.
It was Mecha Challenge.
Innovation competition. But you were a mentor to high school students, actually. And that is actually how you and I first connected.
Yep. That is my passion. And it always has been, because I didn't have anyone to help me figure out how to start a business. Like, I was winging this thing for real. But that's how I started doing websites, started doing, hosting businesses on, websites. The stars, they didn't want to do it anymore. And I used that as my launching pad of starting my organization.
Yeah.
Did that for about 6 or 7 years. And then I went to a digital marketing firm. And again, that also was a strong point, because I didn't have anyone to encourage me to keep doing, software development or software engineering. So I didn't feel that I could do it, which is when I switched my role to basically being a project manager and a business analyst, instead of doing a software development or software engineer role at that digital marketing firm. That's getting back into the corporate world. Again, I was in places, Microsoft, Kellogg, like all these amazing places, and I didn't see people, didn't see very many women. It was majority men in tech. It was great because there was this almost like a family type of, when you're in technology, everybody kind of rally around, we basically call it peer programming, because we're helping one another. If there was something that I didn't understand, someone was there to always, encourage at that point and help, like, oh, you want to learn how to do this, or you want to learn how to, they were always there. So that digital marketing firm was a huge, major step in my career. Yeah. So,
well, and what's interesting, so what has always fascinated me about you, Tammy, is the fact that you are such a dynamic and multidisciplinary leader. Like, I think about, I've heard you on panels where opportunity zones were discussed. I remember, there was a time where you were like a thought leader in the opportunity zone space here in Kansas City. And then, your work now, it kind of speaks to education, and you've had your finger in the education pie for a little while, and you've got technology and marketing, and you're the quintessential entrepreneur in that I feel like you're presented with something that you need to learn, and you just learn it, and you use it to power future growth and evolution, right? So you're a very dynamic learner, I feel like. But the great thing about you is that you then turn that learning into opportunity for others. So let's talk a little bit about that. So WeCodeKC. What is WeCodeKC, Tammy Buckner?
WeCodeKC is a passion that selected me. I mean, like, seriously. Yep. We're talking about the power of choice. WeCodeKC chose me, because I chose the space of tech. Like, as an entrepreneur, I wanted to make money, period. Yeah. And I knew technology was the space to make money.
Right.
A nonprofit is not the A nonprofit is not something that you start when you want to make money. That is not what you do. You don't go start a nonprofit because you want to make a profit.
To be clear, it is not impossible to be well paid. It is not. It's not impossible. But
now, let's make that very clear.
That's not why you go into it.
Right. Let's make that very clear. It is not. It does not mean you don't make decent money. It does not mean your employees. It does not mean you cannot have a nice revenue stream.
Right.
At a nonprofit. But if you're... But there is a huge but there.
Yep.
I mean, that is not the way to do it. But I mean, I think WeCodeKC is a organization that helps young adults and youth create. Our goal is to make sure that we create an inclusive and more equitable technology industry. Because if we don't do that, and we don't help our youth that are right here in the Kansas City area get involved with something that's so fascinating and something that can truly change their life, we're going to lose this economic growth pattern.
Right.
And this is what WeCode is all about. We make sure that we expose youth in the urban core technology so that they can change their lives, their family lives, and change the trajectory of their life. And this is what I'm saying, talking about the power of choice. Because yep. our kids have the opportunity to grab a hold of something such as big as technology and use it to their advantage to change and create something different for themselves.
Yeah. Well, and as you were telling your story, like one of the things that stuck out to me is like clearly your parents fostered your learning. They didn't yell at you for tearing stuff apart. They got you the computer. Like I feel as though you were probably empowered by choice growing up. But did you even know that technology and coding was a choice available to you?
I did not know it was a choice available to me. I didn't because again, we didn't sit around the dinner table and talking about technology. Nobody even in my family to this day, my mother worked at Honeywell, but that was basically an engineering, which is more so, you know, electrical engineering.
Yeah.
But as far as technology and coding and things like that, and I know definitely those can go hand in hand. But no, I didn't see people that look, you know, that's right in my family doing that.
Yeah.
And this is why it's so important. Like we talk about representation matters and we use that often, but it's so true.
Yeah.
That when these kids walk into WeCode and they see people that reminds them of themselves or someone else in their family, these people are either creating games, they're doing robotics, they're creating code. Now they're like, wow, I really can do this. And what warms my spirit when a young girl come to me and says, so you really mean I can make money doing, and I'm like, absolutely.
You absolutely can.
You're absolutely can.
And so you just hit on what I love so much about WeCode KC, because of course, like I love the fact that WeCode teaches those tactical, practical skills to students. But I think the more important thing that WeCode KC does is it opens up the kids' minds into like, hey, not only is this something that you can do tactically, but we want you to dream about a world where we do have equitable and just tech sectors and communities. And we, you know, and so by opening up just the possibility in these kids' minds, you're empowering them for a lifetime.
Yeah.
And you're empowering them. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying empowering them for a lifetime, because oftentimes, you know, we'll get kids come in and they're dragging in because a parent or a grandparent or someone, you know, made them come. And they're like, I don't want to be here. I don't know why I'm here. But by the end of the class, they're like, I'm so glad. When is the next one? Can I come tomorrow? Can we do this every single day?
Yes.
Not right now. But no, so those are the ones that I love. Like they, you know, mad to be there. And now they're like, this is amazing. I had no idea. And so what happens is they find something that they can connect to.
Yeah.
And that we meeting them where they are. Because some of these kids, they come in, the only thing they've ever done is play video games.
Right. Okay.
So now I'm going to show you how to create a video game that belongs to you. And now in the long run, you're a game developer.
Right.
You may be able to sell this game once it's impacted, you know, package it up, you know, just showing them how to do that. Now they believe that they can be their own game developer.
Right. So you have, again, going back to that choice thing, like you have empowered them with the ability to choose the kind of life, the kind of opportunities that they want, the kind of careers that they want to pursue.
Absolutely.
You know, there's all of this choice that before WeCode KC was not open or available to these kids.
Yeah.
Well, I love that so much.
Yeah.
One of the things that I love about WeCode KC, so you have an incredible team. And your team, like, I see you out in the community. I see you active. Your organization definitely has a heart. And I want to talk a little bit about that. Because, I mean, you could, Tammy Buckner, as Chief Executive Officer and founder of WeCode KC, could just hang out in her office and do the classes and the things like that. But one of the things that you do so beautifully is you involve the community in what you're doing? And I want to hear a little bit more about that. Like, how has the community responded to We Code KC and what you're doing for these kids and how you activate within the community?
Yeah. You, Lauren, when you said my team, I cannot do it.
I love your team so much.
My team, I love, I mean, and when I boast and brag, like, yeah, I got my team better than your team, I'm so serious. Like, my team is so phenomenal. These people, I mean, they're just as passionate as I am, and I can call on any last one of them so that they can just get out and present who We Code is. And calling them out, you know, Nicole, Adrian, Ben, Claude, all of them, you know, Charmel, they're all a part of We Code. And they just like it's home for them. And I even talk about our kids, because now we're getting high schoolers are now becoming the ambassadors for We Code and bringing their friends and, you know, and families. So, which is amazing, you know, some of the teenagers, Jackson and George, they are all, you know, part of the team.
Yeah.
So this is what We Code is all about, because we do get out into the community. We don't sit in our office, because it's all about making sure that we're engaging other kids. They will know nothing about We Code if we don't present the voice and making sure that our brand is something that they want to be a part of.
Right.
I love one of our team, Clark. I don't know how they come up with all these different t-shirts and hats and, you know, and I'm like, where'd that t-shirt come from? Because we have to show these kids how important it is. You know, things are a brand. Nike is a brand. When they see that swoosh and they see that, they want a part of that. I want them, when they see We Code, that they want to be a part of We Code.
Yeah. Well, I love that. I just love that about you. Like, you have such, it's really interesting to me. You have such an incredible heart, but you're also very pragmatic. Like, I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't feel like you tend to make decisions emotionally. However, everything that drives you is emotional. Like, it's your heart and it's your feeling for community. And so you do something really unique as a leader in that, because like most people I know are either emotional or logical.
Yeah.
You are able to apply logical thinking to a heart problem, you know, and the heart problem is that kids don't have access to opportunity.
Absolutely.
In this very lucrative, potentially like generational wealth generating kind of
Absolutely.
Field.
Absolutely.
Right?
And that part, Lauren, is a discernment for me.
Yeah.
And I pray, and I know, you know, a lot of people may not be religious, but I really am. I pray about discernment. And this is where, you know, I have to lean on something that's a higher being than I am, because my heart will get in the way. You know, like ask Nicole when it comes time for scholarships for our kids. And I'm like, oh, just
give
everybody.
Why can't I give money to everybody?
And I'm like, everybody gets it. And she's like, no. We have to make sure certain people that, you know, because there's a financial, you know, and we go through all of this. I'm like,
Every time I judge a pitch competition, I'm like, can we just give everybody the money? They were all good. We all deserve it.
So one of these days, I'm going to be Oprah. You'll get a scholarship.
Right.
Everybody gets a scholarship. You know, but no, this is, you know, it has to be a discernment, because it's so important that we make sure that these kids have the opportunity and the freedom to see this is something that truly can change my life.
Yeah.
And I want to take a hold of it just like this person over here did, so that I can change, you know, my life and, like you said, generational wealth. Because technology is going to be and is that industry that is billions of dollars. And if you just get a piece of it, you know, even a small bit of this great opportunity that you can make great money from, why not do it at the earliest age possible?
Yeah. Well, I certainly appreciate that. Another thing that I appreciate is today's episode sponsor. We love Full Scale around here. They keep Startup Hustle powered and going. And they know that finding expert software developers doesn't have to be difficult, especially when you visit fullscale.io, where you can build a software team quickly and affordably. Use the Full Scale platform to define your technical needs and then see what available developers, testers, and leaders are ready to join your team. Visit fullscale.io to learn more. Friends, we are here with Tammy Buckner, the Chief Executive Officer and founder of WeCodeKC. And you said something really, really interesting in there before the break, Tammy, and I'm going to bring us back to it. But we were talking about the fact that, you know, we are opening up these kids to a lifetime of opportunity and a lifetime of acknowledgement of that opportunity. Like, you know, so many kids don't know what they don't know. They don't know that it's even available. But one of the things that I love about your focus on folks who have been historically excluded from the tech industry, folks who are marginalized, the fact is, it is a you can look this up on Google. I don't have the exact numbers, but there is data that supports the fact that marginalized people, when they are empowered to choice and to change and to wealth and to all of these things that your work brings about, they uplift the communities around them. And so when we're talking about creating generational wealth, you are empowering people who will then probably, like, I mean, you know, data is data. So, but most of these people are going to turn around and they're going to help their communities and they're going to fund nonprofits and they're going to reach out to the community around them and bring them along on the journey. Yeah. And so your work very much has a ripple effect. Like, you're impacting that student, but then, you know, and WeCodeKC hasn't been around for a super, super long time to be able to see generations of this, but you're gonna impact generations of Kansas City kids and the people around them.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that, Lauren. Thank you so much. It's you know, I think about the career opportunities that WeCode will provide these kids, that the Kansas City community will now be able to use young people in our own communities to fill this tech talent gap right now that we have. And so now not only these kids are getting jobs right inside of Kansas City, all of that money that they're making, hundreds of thousands of dollars, guess where that money is going? Right into our community, right back into our economy to build our economy up. Now these young people are able to purchase homes right in their backyards, and all of that money stays right here in Kansas City. So yes, now they can come back, their mentors, their teachers, you know, they're now empowered.
They're going to be on hiring committees where they can make sure to prioritize folks who might otherwise deal with unconscious bias. Like, you're creating a pipeline. And it's one of those things where, like, I feel like impact organization, because Innovate Her KC deals with this a little bit as well. Like, impact organizations, sometimes it is really, really difficult to see our immediate impact. Like, I know that we positively impact our members. I know that you positively impact your students, but, like, you and I both know that's not the end of the story.
Right.
That ripple effect is going to reverberate for years.
For years. And it may not happen next year or tomorrow. It will happen. Yes, we have to take kids through high school. So if you're thinking 2 years and now they're graduating and now they're getting jobs and now they're in these jobs, yes, it's a ripple effect and it takes time. But at the same time, over time, yes, it will absolutely make those changes. I talk to our kids and I joke about it all the time. I said, so when you become the next, you know, huge Forbes, you know, chief executive officer of whatever tech company, just remember WeCode, like, you learned.
That's right. You're looking at some major gifts down the line.
Right. You know, we're not asking for anything. We're just mentioned, just remember us. But no, it's, you know, and it, to be honest, that's the truth. Like, there will be one of these kids going to come out and they're going to kill it. They're going to just make major dollars.
They now have the potential to be the next unicorn.
Absolutely want. Tech will touch every single industry. Yeah. Whether you want to be a, you know, software engineer or whatever it is, it's going to touch an industry. So at whatever point, You know, and we know every child is not going to leave our organization and they're going to get involved with tech. But at this time, we're also creating a passion for technology. So right. My generation and older generations are scared of technology. Now we're just training them. You're no longer, you don't have to be afraid.
Right.
You don't have to be afraid of tech because you know something about it.
Right. Well, I love that so much. Do you, now I'm going to ask this with the understanding that you may not be able to answer, but I'm going to do it anyway. But do you have a favorite success story of a student who went through the WeCode program? I know it's an impossible question to answer. Like, people ask me that all the time. And I'm like, who are you even talking to? I have like 8,000.
So many. And that's where I get in so much trouble. Like, okay. Like, you don't talk about your success stories enough. And that's, we have right. so many. I mean, and I can go down the line. Like, young guy, he had been working with us and he emailed me. He goes, Miss Tammy, I do apologize. I have to leave WeCode. And of course, my heart, like, everything okay? You know, I immediately thought, and he goes, well, that's because I got an internship job at Facebook. I'm like, wait, what? Huh? And then I just reached out to him a couple months ago. Now he's in New York working with Amazon. I'm like, bro. Amazing. What? And then I have a young lady. She had been working with us for 2 years. You know, she'd gone through robotics at her high school. She started working with WeCode as an intern. And she wanted to go off to college with them. I'm like, absolutely. How can we help you get scholarships? So we helped her get a scholarship. And now she is in China.
Okay.
Computer science. First of all, I had, and she goes to Duke University. Didn't even know there was a Duke University in China, first of all.
I had no idea, but I get like a satellite school. All right. Works for me.
Full school. Like, she is full. But, you know, so think of a 19-year-old in China, computer science, young, Black, understanding. I mean, she's just amazing.
Yeah.
So I just think about her, that she is so powerful and she wants to come back virtually to do some mentorships with our young ladies.
Incredible.
And it's just, it's amazing. So yeah, I could go on and on about so many success stories that walk out of WeCode. It's phenomenal.
Well, I've had the occasion to talk to some of the leaders within the WeCode organization and like some of the students who have gone through, you know, some of the programming that you put on. And I've always been so impressed by not only these individuals, they're impressive in and of their own right, but like how you have been able to organizationally propel them forward on their journey. Like, I've seen it, I've heard about it. Incidentally, you actually had a mentor that I wanted to poach her so bad. Like, you're really, really good at identifying talent, you know, putting the people that you need around you. Yeah. You know, you're killing it, babe. And it's
Thank
a really
you.
Joyous, beautiful thing to watch.
Thank you.
What advice would you give to listeners? I love giving like the tactical, practical advice. Like, not everybody who's listening to the show right now is going to go out and start their own WeCode KC. What advice would you give to listeners who want to empower their teams or their families, mm-hmm. loved ones, or like the people around them who want to empower with choice?
Yeah.
What are some base guidelines that people should follow?
I mean, I think it's so important that when you see, especially being a leader, we want to create more leaders.
Yeah.
I don't want people, you know, one thing someone says, well, you know, you're teaching them how to code, you're teaching them, and then they're going off to other tech companies. Well, that's the whole idea. So same thing with our team, our leaders, you know, leaders create other leaders. You know, we don't want to hold on to them. I want them to make sure that they're empowering people as well. Oftentimes I get these conversations of, you know, can you come on to a panel? I would prefer someone else, you know, in WeCode to go out to these panels because there's more of us. There's more women. There's more Black and Brown, Hispanic, Latino in technology. So yes, I definitely push them out. People need to see them as well. It's not just me. It's not just about Tammy, because WeCode is not just about Tammy. This is our organization.
Right.
You know, I just happened to found it, but this is our organization. This organization belongs to Kansas City community. And I want them to realize that, like, this is the organization that we're going to create leaders. We're going to create phenomenal software developers, project managers, business analysts, you know, in tech. Because if you cannot grasp hold of an organization that's going to be the leader in stepping out, like, what, who can you count on?
Right.
And so that's so important to me, that we're able to create more leaders in our organization. And I that's what I tell people. Just make sure you're encouraging. Be open. Help them for the if they want to be more of a public speaker in tech. Okay, help find tech panels for them to be on. Encourage them to be on those panels. Here's your time. And someone said that, well, I want to learn how to be more of a public speaker. Okay, well, I'm going to go find you some tech panels and I'm going to get you on those panels. Let's get you, you know, to start speaking. But it's important that we just encourage them to do that. So just be an encouraging leader.
Yeah. Well, and I love that, like, I think that an important piece of that puzzle is, like, be encouraging, but you actually proactively go out and find the opportunities. Like, let me help you. Because you're right. Like, when it comes to public speaking, something that I've learned is, like, the only way to do it is to do it. Like, you just got to, like, you have to practice and you have to try things and you have to figure out your style. Like,
yeah,
it's one of those things where having a leader behind you who is not just saying, hey, you can do this, but actually finding opportunities for you to do this. Like, that's huge.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because there's so many opportunities out there and we want to make sure that they are focused on, okay, this is what I want to do. Now I need to prepare myself to actually become that, you know, speaker, or become that the next, you know, person that's getting involved with that. So yeah, I love finding and collaborating, you know, helping someone else, because I do get a lot of opportunities. It's not just for me, you know, let's share the wealth.
Exactly. So I want to tell you a story, Tammy. I don't know if I've ever told you this story before.
Story time.
So a while back, there was an uproar, and I believe it was particularly kind of focused on France, but athletes who wore hijab were being asked to take them off because it was not in keeping with it. And so, you know me, like, I'm a very vocal person. I go onto social media and I'm, like, commenting on things. And at one point, somebody in the comments was like, you know, I had mentioned, I was like, look, I, you know, steward a woman forward organization. Like, this is a really important piece of the conversation that we need to have. And so somebody was like, well, if you're, you know, a woman's rights advocate and you're a feminist, then you shouldn't want women to wear hijab at all. And I was like, no, that's not my role at all.
Right.
I want to empower women with choice, wear a hijab or don't, as long as nobody else is making it, you do it. And if it makes you feel closer to your God, then by all means, I want you to have that choice to wear that hijab. But my job is not to tell a woman how to be a woman.
Right.
My job is to make sure that however you want to be a woman, you
that's
can
right.
do that freely. The only
that's
thing
right.
that's limiting is yourself. The only, like, the outside forces, the unconscious biases, like, I don't want any of that stuff to impede you if that's what you want to do. So it's all about choice.
All about it.
And so I wanted to share that story with you because I want to ask you, you know, as you have moved through this career and we're talking about choice and you're offering choice to your team and you're offering choice to the kids who go through We Code KC, you know, what are some ways that we can make sure that we are kind of comprehensively viewing the world through that lens, through that choice lens? Like, how can we, I guess, interact with the world around us to offer the people around us choice? I don't know if that's how I want to ask that question.
That's a good one. That's good. Because I know there's going to be so many opportunities. You know, I was just listening to in regards to the hijab situation, like, how do we encourage them to be themselves?
Yeah.
Still in a world of opportunity, in a world of choice, just to be themselves. And Lauren, the way I look at that is because when I look at myself as a Black woman and the opportunities that our ancestors or our families did not have, and now I have all of those opportunities, like, now I feel that I'm opening it up for my daughter and opening up for her friends.
Generally is extraordinarily impressive, by the way.
See, I wasn't going to bring that.
You're not going to say it. I'm going to say it. She's pretty amazing.
She is amazing. Just graduated with her neuroscience degree, but
early too, right? Like, didn't she
graduate early? A year and a half early. So
I have to tell you, I'm not surprised at all that Fruit of Your Loins is a high achieving, talented individual. But I think it bears mentioning, folks.
But that part is the choice part. Like, she made the opportunity. She made the choice to push herself that hard.
Right.
I didn't force her. I did not say, you have to do this ahead of time. She had that choice.
Yeah.
And when you give them the opportunity, and when you nurture a person and nurture a child, that is where they realize that they have the choice to do anything that they want to do.
Yeah.
And I say this all the time. If your child is five, she was at 5 years old and said she wanted to be a doctor. You nurture that. You nurture whatever they say they want to do until they change their mind. But during the time they're saying it, you nurture it. That's giving them the opportunity. It's giving them choices. Like, wow, I said I wanted to do this. Well, I'm going to find all the opportunities that I possibly can to help you decide to make that choice. What is this really what you want to do? So that's what I feel when it comes to women, and it comes to what we are about, making sure that all those opportunities exist so that you can make a solid decision, a solid choice on what you want to do. I believe in that. And if I can find anything to help anybody else, I feel that that's my calling. That's my purpose in life, to collaborate and to find opportunities for other people. It's not about me. It's not about finding a job for Tammy and, you know, she can work over here making $200,000-$300,000 a year. That's not my purpose. The purpose is to make sure that other people, that I find opportunities for other people.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's any secret that I just adore that about you. And I feel like it's something that you and I share, like that kind of community focused lens. So I feel like that is a lovely note to end on. I'm going to ask you the human question now, Tammy. Oh, are you ready?
I'm not ready for this.
You seem a little nervous, but it's going to be okay.
This is the only question that I've been nervous on.
Okay. So, well, I'll give you, I think I really look forward to hearing this answer. If you were an author, what genre would you write in? What would you write about?
That's not a good one.
Well, I can ask you another one if you want.
I'll answer that.
You can say it.
Right. I'm like,
there's no judgment here. Startup Hustle is a brave space. It's a brave space. Be brave.
Interesting. I'm gonna go with my second choice.
Okay.
Which would likely be something energetic, something that is very adventurous.
Okay.
Very adventurous.
Like kind of like a Robinson Crusoe kind of vibe, or like, would it be fiction? Would it be?
It would be something that's going to just like a clincher. Like, you're going to just keep
just a page turner. Okay.
Total page.
I like that. And I can see that about you. All right. So I'm going to ask you another human question. And I've never done this before. But the other one that I was thinking in my head was, all right, it's the zombie apocalypse. What three items do you want to have with you?
Oh.
Yeah.
God, Lauren, you making me say, people going to like, is that really her? Besides my 9mm? I mean, wait a minute.
I mean, you can be packing. There's it. Yeah, right. I mean, I feel like I'm packing. Because I was thinking, I was like, well, like a Swiss Army knife and maybe an axe and all that. But at no point did gun ever enter my consciousness. So, like, duh.
Look at here. You saw what I got. No, seriously. I would definitely have my gun with me. I'm sorry. Sure. And then it's just, it is.
Makes sense.
on the total opposite end, my Bible.
Okay.
Ooh, and my laptop. And my laptop.
All right. All three of those things are crucial.
All three of those things are very crucial. I wouldn't even take the phone. Just as long as I have my laptop, my Bible, gotta have that in my hands.
I dig it. Well, Tammy, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. I knew this was going to be fun. And
this was fun. This was so much fun. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, and of course, thank you so much to our episode sponsor, FullScale. If you need to hire software engineers, testers, or leaders, FullScale can help. They have the people and the platform to help you build and manage a team of experts. When you visit fullscale.io, all you need to do is answer a few questions and then let the platform match you up with fully vetted, highly experienced software engineers, testers, and leaders. At FullScale, they specialize in building long-term teams that work only for you. Learn more when you visit fullscale.io. And friends, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse a little bit here, but I am going to invite you to check out the other Power of episodes as part of this entire week-long series. We should have another one coming up tomorrow. This has been a really, really fun series to work on. And hope that you enjoy it, but definitely give us a listen. I think Andrew Morgan's and Matt DeGore, all of the hosts have weighed in on the power of something. And I invite you to give us a listen. We love that you keep on coming back, friends, week after week. We are very, very grateful. And we are here doing Startup Hustle just for you. We're very glad that you come back and listen to us. We will catch you next time.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by FullScale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.